Hi everybody, welcome back to this latest edition of the JF interview series. I'm absolutely delighted that my guest today is Jason Jordan. Jason's the founding partner of Vantage Point Performance, the leading sales management training and development firm. He's a recognized thought leader in the domain of business-to-business selling and conducts ongoing research into management best practices in developing, measuring, and managing world-class sales organizations. Jason's extensive research into sales performance metrics led to the breakthrough insights published in his best-selling book, Cracking the Sales Management Code. He's obviously a popular speaker and writer. He's a frequent contributor not only to Top Sales World, but also to the Sales Management Association, the American Society for Training and Development, and Sales and Marketing Management. He's currently the Director of Research for the Sales Education Foundation and is a visiting faculty member in the Executive Education and MBA programs at the University of Virginia's Darden School of Business. Jason, welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Jonathan.
It's an absolute pleasure. I'm sorry to interrupt. I was going to say it's an absolute pleasure. I don't think you've done a JF interview before.
I don't believe we have.
No.
Hopefully it goes well.
Don't worry. I'll be gentle with you.
Please.
Okay, look, you and I have agreed post-recording that what we want to talk about is sales management. As you know, it's one of my current crusades. Sales management, I believe, is one of the reasons, or poor sales management, is one of the reasons why we are witnessing this incredible decline in annual sales performances. And I think once the 2017 reports come out, that's coming out in 2018, of course, I think we're going to witness potentially that less than 50% of people in 2017 hit their numbers, which I find really quite horrifying.
Sure.
So my first question to you, and I'd love to get your opinion on this, why is there such a paucity of qualified sales managers today?
Well, it's a great question. I think it's probably been that same paucity for, 150 years or however long we've called people sales managers. The sales force is kind of saddled with a lot of bad decisions that actually on the surface make totally good sense, right? And I could go down the list. Bigger pipelines are better than smaller sales pipelines. Well, maybe, maybe not. More time spent forecasting is time well spent. Well, maybe, maybe not. And when it comes to sales management, the assumption has been, look, let's take our best salespeople and let's promote them to sales managers and then they'll sort it out. And the idea that, and we can pull analogies from other industries as well, sports, athletics, taking the best player and making them a coach, maybe taking the best painter and putting them as an instructor. I mean, pick any, it doesn't necessarily hold because it's a different skill set. And so there's just been this assumption, and it's deeply embedded, that if we just take our best salespeople and put them in charge of the other salespeople, that this magic that we've not really understood, what makes a great sales manager, this magic will kind of trickle down into the other people that they manage. And as you pointed out, it's not true because, Michelle Vizzano, one of my partners and co-author of the book, Cracking the Sales Management Code, has just finished some great research. One of the insights that we found is that in the business-to-business space where we did the research, 52% of salespeople have been making their quota. You said a little less than 50% you think will do it this past year. And all the research points in that direction. And so, I think it's this assumption that if we just take good salespeople and make them managers, we don't need to do much more. We've kind of set ourselves up for success by culling successful people and they'll just figure it out. And history has proven to us that they don't just figure it out. It's a very substantially different role than being a successful salesperson.
Yes, and it's interesting, and promoting your best performer into a sales management role just because they were simply the best performer when the opportunity arose is a topic that, I've discussed with lots and lots of people over the past 10 years. And we all agree, and you validated that point. We all agree that it's, effectively what you're doing is you're hamstringing your organization when you do that, because you're not only removing your best performer from the front line and off the sales team, but then you're also burdening your sales team with an incompetent manager. And I think to endorse your point further, statistics that I've seen on several occasions in the past 5 years suggest that the average tenure now for a sales manager is 2 years. But if they were promoted from within, in the circumstances that we've just discussed, that tenure goes down to 18 months. And
Wow.
I think that's really, really is quite startling. Do you sense, Jason, that there is less enthusiasm on the part of organizations to invest in sales managers than there is to invest in sales teams?
Well, I don't think so. I think there's been a trend in the right direction of this over the past, I don't know, say 10 years that I've really been paying close attention to the training and development of sales managers. And, I'd like to think that we've had something to do with this, our company VantagePoint. I mean, we've been focusing on sales managers before sales managers were cool. And, we've really written about it, spoken about it. We've tried to, approach companies. And I think there's definitely, whether we've contributed to it or not, there's definitely been a trend that people are recognizing that sales managers have been neglected. And excuse me, I sense enthusiasm both from companies to develop them. And we can talk about kind of what those development trends have been, and also enthusiasm from sales managers to receive it. It's kind of interesting. We did some of our first marquee client, if you will, after we had done the first substantial research into this topic and started training people was a group within GE, General Electric. And it was really interesting. They had done a lot of traditional coaching of their sales managers, and the traditional training path was give them some leadership training, just generic leadership training, the same that every other leader in the organization gets, and give them a lot of coaching training and generic coaching training. I mean, the same coaching that a manager or coach in every other part of the organization would get. And they'd done it a lot, like really a lot. And so, their mind was changing that they needed to rethink the content, what they were providing. But so we put together this program. We tended in this case to focus on the sales pipeline. And it was really interesting. They were really concerned that sales managers wouldn't come, and if they came, they wouldn't be engaged because they had been trained a lot on coaching and leadership. And the woman who was running the development program from GE's perspective said, we have to come up with a good name for this. And we said, okay. And she said, well, whatever we do, we can't call it coaching training because everyone's been trained so much in coaching, literally, no one might show up. And so there's some interesting stuff in that. There's the recognition, even by companies that have done a lot of training of their sales managers, that they haven't been doing the right training. And there's a recognition that sales managers are kind of jaded. And that they've seen all the sales training, they went through it as a salesperson, they've seen a lot of coaching and leadership training, and they realized that it wasn't very useful for them. But once we got them in the room and started talking about practical things that were actually useful, they were extremely receptive. I mean, they love it. And I think that sales managers are very receptive when they can see that this is something new for them and something that they can use and is practical. And so I'm kind of weaving a couple of your questions together here. We've seen a change in the enthusiasm for training sales managers. We've seen a change in the approach to training sales managers, and we've seen the sales managers actually like it when it's not just a rehash of something they've seen for the last 15 years of their career.
That's it. It's an interesting point, and I always wonder. I mean, certainly my own experience is that quite often, once we've drilled down through the boardroom in my own consultancy, and we then hit middle management and particularly sales management, there can be a reticence and almost a, well, what are you going to teach me? I know it all. And it's a, so the big challenge on the first morning, if it's a classroom event, is to get them all as enthusiasts by the first coffee break. And I think once you've done that, and as you suggest quite rightly, once they see that there are benefits there for them, and what the advantages will be of expanding their commercial skill sets, they're ready.
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, I'll tell you a quick story just to emphasize this. So, a client, I'm not going to mention their name, but so we were doing something similar. We developed a global training program for their entire organization, and we were down in South America, and we were rolling it out to obviously to a population of sales managers. It just so happened that the global head of sales training for the company was in town the exact same time we were there, and we bumped into each other in the, just in the hallway of their headquarters there, and got an introduction. Hey, this is, VantagePoint. They're helping us with our sales management training program. And I said, our program starts tomorrow. If you're here, it'd be great. You could stop by, kind of, and introduce the program. And and stick around for an hour if you have it and just kind of see what we're doing. And his response was, you know, not to be rude, but I've seen it all.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I appreciate you're saying you're not trying to be rude, but you're just kind of making yourself look a little stupid because you know, this maybe you haven't seen it all, you know. And then when he walked away, the kind of person that had employed us, you know, our advocate there said, that was really weird and awkward. I apologize. And, you know, the next day we started doing the training and people were amazingly receptive to it. They said, we've never seen anything like this. This is the best stuff we've ever done for our sales management team. But it just kind of emphasizes the fact that by the time someone's been in sales and been in sales training or been around it for 20 years, they have seen a lot of stuff over and over and over again. And there are only so many different ways you can put acronyms together, you know, for a generic coaching model or for an opportunity management process. But sales managers don't need that because they have had it over and over again. It's an interesting conversation. I could go on, but I have example after example where, you know, smart people who should know better don't realize the importance of it and don't realize that a change is afoot. But as I said, over the last 10 years, we've seen a definitive trend in people getting smarter and more sophisticated and more enlightened about the challenges that sales managers face and how you really prepare them to do their jobs.
Yeah, I think the only point I'd add to that is that smart people realize that you never know it all. And the day we stop learning, we may as well pack up and go home. And that's certainly been my mantra. Over the last 10 years, do you feel, with all of your experience, that the skills that are required to manage, motivate, lead a frontline sales team have changed?
No, I don't think so. And, you know, I'm a little bit of an old soul in this regard. You know, I don't think selling has fundamentally changed. I mean, obviously technology has played a major role in the way we think about sales and the way we manage salespeople. Right? I mean, the internet has been changing, you know, got life changing, the computing, telecommunications, you know, social media, I mean, whatever you want to say. But fundamentally, you know, the role of a salesperson is pretty similar, right? They have to identify people who are prospects for their products and services. They have to engage them in some way. You know, they have to demonstrate they have something to talk about. They have to demonstrate value. They have to, you know, kind of position themselves. I mean, the fundamental task of what a salesperson does is not changed, whether they're doing it through social media or a telephone or riding up on a horse and buggy. And, you know, consequently, sales management fundamentally hasn't changed. You know, they still need to be able to identify where it's important that they spend their time. They still have to be able to coach and develop their salespeople. They still have to be able to measure and manage performance. And, you know, the tools are different and maybe there's an efficiency, increase in the way that you can communicate. But fundamentally, it's not that different. You know, I think that what we haven't really understood is fundamentally what the sales manager's role is. You know, I think they've been super salespeople. They've been kind of whip crackers. They've been motivators, whether, you know, carrot stick or whether you're using the carrot as a stick. They've been administrators. And with the increase in CRM and reporting, they've been reporters. But fundamentally, I think if you took a great sales manager from 1927 and a great manager from 2027, I think, you know, the salesperson's experience would be very similar, which is that the person's supportive and takes the time to understand their particular needs, and they focus on developing them in the right ways and reinforcing them in the right ways. I don't think fundamentally the task has changed. I think our thinking about it has changed, which has been a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, good point. When you think of all the skills necessary to be a really successful top 20% achiever in the field of sales management, which skill do you think is the most important?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, the sales management role is when we talked about before, kind of promoting your best salespeople and making them managers. And the truth is, if you're a salesperson, you know, depending on the role you're in, there are probably one or two skills you can have that'll really set you apart. And whether it's empathy or questioning skills or analytic ability or whatever it is. I mean, if you're really good at a couple of things and you find the right sales role, inside sales, key account management, whatever, you can succeed. You know, by the time you get to be a manager, it's almost like the skill set you need to succeed as a sales manager explodes. Because, you know, if you think about the role of a sales manager, obviously they're part salesperson and they're probably still good at that. But, you know, they're part coach. They're part IT director. they're part financial analyst. You know, there's a lot going on. But, you know, fundamentally, the most valuable skill of a sales manager is to be a coach.
Yeah.
And, you know, what does that mean? You know, it kind of depends on who you're managing and what's the thing. But you know, sales managers need to be good coaches. They need to help salespeople identify where the important stuff is, focus the salespeople on the important stuff, and where they find holes in their ability to do the good stuff. You know, they need to be part trainer and part leader and motivator and coach and everything else. So, I mean, I think coaching is the most important role. How it's defined kind of depends on the situation.
Yeah, no, I actually totally agree with you. 100%, excuse me. And when you look back over your extensive experience of training, coaching, mentoring sales managers, which characteristic or skill do you typically find is the weakest?
Well, I think being a sales manager is different in every company and every role, and it's really defined by who you manage. But, you know, the place that I think I see people really, really fall down is that sales managers tend to lose perspective of the important stuff. And, you know, I think this is something that sales struggles with generally, and it's by design. You know, we still kind of manage the sales teams under this assumption that if people work harder, they're more successful. And maybe that was true in 1927 when you were riding around, you know, in a cart or whatever, or, you know, trying to sell clocks off the back of your thing but it's not the way it is anymore. People don't succeed more by working harder, but the sales force still runs that way, right? We have daily meetings and we have rich incentives because we think it motivates people to work harder. Mm-hmm. And I think what salespeople really need is the guidance to work smarter. And I think sales managers struggle from that same affliction, which is that sales managers just live in this really super busy world where there's always something urgent, but not necessarily important, right? You know, it's kind of like coaching is the most important thing that doesn't have to get done by Friday, you know, but forecasts do, and updating the system does. And doing administrative burden, you know, administrative stuff has to get done by a certain day because there are organizational expectations. And so sales managers lose perspective. They fall into this very common role of being reactive, you know, letting the salespeople dictate their agenda, right? A problem arises or they need them to intervene in some way. The reporting gets in the way. The forecasting gets in the way. And I think sales managers, generally, most of them suffer from the idea that they have to focus on what they're doing so they can get their salespeople focused on what they're doing. And, you know, if you sit down most sales managers, I mean, here's the perfect test for this theory, right? If you sit down most sales managers, any sales manager, pick one in the hallway on random, walking down the hall today, and say, hey, if you had five more hours in the week, how would you spend it as a manager? And they'll always give you some variation of, I'd spend more time coaching. Right. They'll say, I'd spend more time in the field, or I'd spend more time coaching my reps, or I'd spend more time, you know, whatever it is. It'll be some variety of what they perceive to be coaching. And then you just have to raise the point, well, do you think five more hours are ever coming? And they'll say, no. Like, well, then we've reached a point, a decision point here. We're either going to admit we're never going to do the important stuff, or you're going to have to take 5 hours of other stuff off your plate. And so it's a long way of saying I think sales managers suffer from an issue of prioritization and focus. And I think we put that on them as an organization. And people know the right things to do. I mean, they know the important stuff they're not doing. They just don't make time to do it.
Yeah, yeah. And sadly, I suspect if you ask that question, less than 5% would say, I'm going to spend some extra time developing my skill set. But there we go.
No. Yeah. No, they've seen it all. They've seen it all, John.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, look, final question. Because we share a passion for developing sales managers and, dare I say, leaders, but there in essence is my question to you. In your experience, what percentage of the sales managers that you've met, trained, developed, coached, mentored could genuinely be described as sales leaders?
That's a good question. I think probably the exact same percentage that you would pull out of the general population and you would consider them leaders. You know, I think that some people are just leaders, right? And they're leaders when they're salespeople, and they're leaders when they're sales managers, and they're leaders when they're sales leaders. You know, I don't think we do a great job of developing leadership. I think people just naturally tend toward it. And when they find themselves in leadership roles, some people take it and run with it and some don't. And that's why you have this broad spectrum of capability of sales managers, right? You have some that are really great and you have some that are really bad, and you have a bell curve that dumps the others in the middle. So I think it's a great question. I think everyone should be a leader. I don't think we do a great job of developing it. So if you ask me for the prevalence, I think it would be whatever the prevalence is in society.
Yeah, no, I think that's I think that's a very crafty answer. I said that was my last question. Look, here's an additional one. Do you think leaders are born, or do you think leaders can be created?
Oh yeah, no, there's definitely a discipline around leadership. I mean, look at companies like your GEs or your 3Ms, or, you know, these companies. Well, GE may not be the best example in 2017, but pick your companies that have a reputation for developing sales leaders. I mean, these are the companies that other companies raid when they need top executives and they need leaders. I mean, there are companies that have been proven to develop good leaders. Look at the military. Pick your country, pick your military, right? You know, the military is very good at developing leadership skills, and it can surely be developed like every other skill. But you know, leadership isn't leadership, and it's very important to understand in your organization what that means and what the goal is and what the disciplines are that need to be developed. But no, unquestionably, I mean, are salespeople born or bred? You know, well, clearly you can teach someone to be a better salesperson. Leadership's no different. It's it can surely be taught.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, is there anything else that you want to add? It's been a huge pleasure having you on this recording. I hope you'll come back again soon. The contributions that both you and Michelle Vazana are making to Top Sales World as part of our contributing team I'm really, really grateful for. And of course, our partnership with Vantage Point Performance is very, very important to Top Sales World. So I'm saying goodbye to you. Is there anything you want to add?
No, just please have us back.
You can count on it. Okay, everybody, I highly recommend you get across to share Vantage Point Performance's words of wisdom, both from Jason and Michelle and the rest of the team. The website address is www. And then this is all one word, vantagepointperformance.com. You will find details on Jason and on Michelle in Top Sales Magazine and over at Top Sales World in the contributor area. And as I said, they feature very, very regularly. So this is Jonathan Farrington. Thank you very much for joining us. And I hope you've enjoyed this incredibly interesting recording. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.